Got here, it was kind of August, September, so we kind of got here late, knowing that the season's going to be delayed into the spring.
About some of the challenges that you faced in that COVID-induced season, what was kind of the major ones that you felt during that time?
I was fielding 11 girls with no subs at one point. Girls wanted to be better. You know, when you have that mentality, you can always coach that.
That is a game that was more at the level of Division I athletics.
We just knew how to play with each other. And it was amazing how we could connect on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Peacock Podcast, the official podcast of St. Peter's Athletics. I'm your host, Nick Iacobo. We have a special episode today, our first episode of the 2025-26 season. And in studio today, we have the head of our women's soccer program, hired in August of 2020, head coach Julia Bozzi in studio today. How are you doing today, coach?
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome to have you in. So let's actually start with that. August 2020, you are hired. You come back to where it all began. You began as an assistant coach here. You come back as the head coach. What was that process like for you to get back into the Peacock uniform?
So I feel like 2020 wasn't real. When we got here, it was kind of August, September. So we kind of got here late, knowing that the season's going to be delayed into the spring. So I only had half the team training with me during the fall. And then come the fall season, went into the spring, it was different, right? We had girls that got COVID, other teams pulled out because they got COVID. It was just a difficult time for everybody. So it wasn't the easiest to start off your career here, but we adjusted. What can you do?
Yeah, and let's talk about that 2020 season. Your first season, only played four games. A lot of the scores were tough to say the least. However, though, there was an overtime loss that I went through and found. What was kind of, we talked about this a little bit before we got on the air, about some of the challenges that you faced in that COVID-induced season. What was kind of the major ones that you felt during that time?
I think the number of players I had on the team. I was fielding 11 girls with no subs at one point. So it wasn't the easiest. Yeah.
And now let's actually go back. Let's go a little bit towards your previous history. A former Olympian, which I had no idea about. That was absolutely incredible. And we talked a little bit about this before. FIFA World Cup competitor, not once, but twice. Walk us through kind of how that experience went. You mentioned you played for two different coaches. What was kind of that experience like for you playing in the FIFA World Cup?
So I wish I was older, right? Because I was still a teenager playing at the biggest stage. You don't mentally know how big it is until now. Like, you know, if I was in my at least mid-20s, you'd appreciate it a little bit more. But being a teenager, you're kind of just young and mentally not as strong as you feel like you would be if you're a bit older.
And now let's go into your coaching history. You have the winningest season still to this day, still at Fashion Institute of Technology in 2017, 8-7. You took over a program that, to put it lightly, was in a rough state. And you took that program over and immediately changed the culture there. How did that come about? What was kind of your philosophy going through that season? How did you manage to turn that season into 8 wins?
So I think discipline's a big one, right? So discipline off the field is just as important as on the field. And the girls wanted to be better. You know, when you have that mentality, you can always coach that. But if they don't want to improve, there's nothing you can do. And having those girls be able to do that for me, it wasn't the hardest thing in the world because they wanted to be better. And having the experience that I had, we were able to do that.
What's been the scariest moment you've had in your coaching tenure? You've coached it all over at multiple different universities. We'll get to those in a second. But during your coaching experience, what in your life has been sort of the moment that you've kind of been like, okay, this may be a little bit too much? What's kind of been that moment for you?
I don't think I've ever had that moment, but I think everyone questions themselves sometimes because you're so in your ways of how you want things to be done. And you always want, and if it's not working immediately, you kind of sit there and be like, am I doing the right thing? You know, I'm so soccer obsessed that I would watch film, watch other teams, watch back my game to see what I can improve for the next game. So just like you would as a player, the coaches do the same thing as well.
And let's talk about that coaching experience you've had. Coaching stints at Franklin Pierce, Fairleigh Dickinson, and as an assistant coach here at St. Peter's. What's been sort of the key lesson you have taken from all three of your experiences before you came back here to Peacock Nation? What was kind of the main thing you took from all three?
So I've had a couple of different head coaches too. I would take the things that I liked and didn't like and run with that. And obviously the things that I like and don't like are put together. And I feel like the biggest thing for me is man managing my players. You have to know which one you can kind of yell at a little bit to get them to play better, and the other one that needs a cuddle every now and then. So being able to figure that out quickly to get the best out of your players, I think that helps a lot.
And then I want to go back again to that FIFA World Cup competitor twice for the Australian national team. You mentioned before, with two different head coaches, you play two different positions in that FIFA World Cup, one on offense, one on defense. What kind of was the philosophy that the coaches gave you when you were on both sides of the pitch?
It was a different time. The trainings were different. It was like nowadays it's got a lot of science. Back then, I mean, my games were on VHS. That's how far back. I'm showing my age now, but it's a different time in terms of the science, how we used to do our fitness then and how it's done now, and the heart monitors and everything. So it's a different world, right? But the experience was unbelievable. If I can go back now and be 16, 17 again, I'll take it in a heartbeat.
And now we're going to come up to your most recent experience. Again, hired in August of 2020, you were hired back 0-4 in your first season, then 3-13 in your second season. You could very easily make somewhat of the case that, well, it was you had your players back in a not COVID-induced season. What to you was kind of the biggest hurdle that you had to get over from coming from your first season to your second season? What was the biggest hurdle you had to get?
We had to build a squad. When I came in, we had 14 girls. By the time COVID was done, I had 10. So bringing in a big class is not always the easiest, right? So we had to build a squad, and then eventually we're able to bring in 5 or 6 girls instead of 14 and 15. So you're kind of handpicking the girls that you want.
I've always wanted to play collegiately. Since I was in fourth grade, my mom took me to a UConn women's soccer game. And at this time, I think I was playing on the field and I was watching all the girls like run around, and like I was 9, 10 years old. And I remember just like seeing the lights and all these like girls that looked so much older, so much bigger, and just being like amazed by it all, like the crowd, because like UConn, they have such a big crowd, and it was honestly amazing. And I had a poster and I had all the players sign it, and I was like, this is what I want to do.
2022 to 2024, you improved every single year. The wins might not have been there, but certainly statistically in your offensive production and your defensive numbers as well, all went up after all those years. And currently we come to this year. We are 7 games in. You already have 4 wins. That's the same amount that you've had the last 3 years in 7 games already. Right now, as it stands, you are 3rd in the MAC in scoring and 4th in defensive output. Was there a conversation you've had with your coaching staff that's kind of like, hey, we need to either make a change or something's not right? What has kind of been the switch that you guys have flipped that has allowed this season to be as successful as it has?
It's the players we've brought in. Our philosophy has been the same, and we've tried it throughout the years, and it's gotten better as we've gotten more players to come in. The transfers, for example, with Jules and Alexa, they've been massive players for us because they have that experience already. And for me, I field freshmen too. I mean, I've got 3 or 4 freshmen starting every game, no problem for me. So I think the quality of the girls has improved, and also the experience, right? So you can be the best coach in the world, but you can't teach experience. So the young ones that we had coming in that were playing are now juniors, right? So now I expect more from them, and the way we've approached it has been similar to what we have in the past, but they have the quality to do it.
And I went through and I looked at your staff that you currently have brought in, all very big sort of analytical style and sort of transitioning to the modern game. What was kind of the process like of going through and hiring your assistant staff?
We're all obsessed with soccer. all three of us. It's such a nice dynamic in the office. And it's the head coach always gets kind of the praise or the hit, but the assistants do a lot too, right? So I couldn't do what I do without them. We have an excellent team, and I hope we can stay together for a long time.
And I want to end off lastly. I wrote down one of the first things about you is leadership. I think you are an excellent leader of this incredible group of young women on this roster. What is sort of the thing that you try to remind yourself that when the games get tough, you just had a bit of a scare with your last game, it was a win. What kind of has been the thing that you always remind yourself that, like, in the face of pressure, how do you stay calm?
I've been there, right? So having the experience, it helps tremendously. I've been a college athlete. I've played at the highest level. I know what pressure feels like. So if I can take the pressure off their shoulders, whether it's sitting down talking to them, whether I call them, whether we do a team meeting, whatever I can do to release the pressure from them a little bit, that's what we'll do.
In March 2022, St. Peter's University lifted up the world and left it wanting more.
The world needs more peacocks.
We look like the world and feel like home. And our professors are peacocks too. This is hands-on first-person learning. It's an education that's the total package. And we're much more than the sixth borough. When peacocks fly, we lift up everybody.
You can be a peacock too.
The Peacock Podcast, the official athletics podcast of St. Peter's Athletics. Nick Iacovo back in studio. And now in studio today, we have Emma Lopes and Macy Williams. Welcome in studio for representing women's soccer. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, anytime.
So let's start off with you, Emma, actually. Currently a senior right now. Yes. You have had quite the tumultuous road here at St. Peter's. Freshman year, you did not appear in any games for the Peacocks. But sophomore year, you showed up, totaling 16 saves in 315 minutes. What has kind of been sort of the philosophy for you to be like, when your moment comes in, I have to shine the brightest?
I think, especially coming in freshman year and having it be so new, you kind of have not as much confidence, but the coach definitely instills that in you, having your girls or like your friends around, coming on the field and kind of being nervous for like playing your first time, your first collegiate game. You kind of just get in the mindset of like I have to, like I have to like lock in right now. And it, honestly, like when you're not there, it feels like you're not, it's like not real sometimes. But when you just like step on the field and it's just like you have no time to be like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready. Like you're ready. Like even the practices, you treat the practices like it's like real time, like you're ready for this. And I think this team really helps you through that process of just knowing that like once you step on the field, like you're ready and you're capable of achieving your goals.
And this season, again, it's been a little bit of a tumultuous ride. Freshman starting in at goalkeeper. How have you as a leader been able to handle that and been sort of the guiding light to not just the goalkeeping room, but to the young freshman as well and a young sophomore that's sitting right across, right next to you? Yeah. What has been sort of the leadership mentality you've been taking?
Definitely including everyone, conversations on, off the field. I'm a big group person, so everything we do on and off the field is as a group. Everyone's, it's kind of like a sisterhood, basically. Even coming in my freshman year, being really, especially as like a goalkeeper, it's like a big leadership role on the field. And when you're coming, like stepping on the field as a freshman and you're with all these like seniors and fifth years that are so much older and have more experience than you, you feel kind of intimidated. But as you go on, like sophomore, junior, like you have all these new girls coming in and that kind of look up to you because you are older and you've been through the process. And I kind of enjoy, like, especially when she came in her freshman year, she was always in my room. Like, we were always talking about, like, the steps to take, process, like, if you, like, how you're feeling, how to deal with those emotions, like, the steps to take if you need help. And so, like, I like to instill my knowledge on the newcomers, which really does, like, it definitely makes me feel more as, like, a leader and as a senior, like, feeling like I'm, like, one of the older girls who can, like, instill my, like knowledge on them. Yeah.
Macy, what was your first experience like when you stepped onto the campus? You had an incredible career in Castle Rock, Colorado. We'll talk about that in a second. But what was kind of your first experience like when you stepped on the St. Peter's campus?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely so different from high school. I mean, you go from, you know, playing at such a, I wouldn't say such a low level, but definitely a lower level when you're not surrounded by all these amazing athletes and people who are, you know, could be 4 or 5 years older than you. You know, I really had to step in freshman year, and I mean, it's really more physical. You're playing against people 2 times your size, and you just got to go in and give it your all. I mean, Emma and the upperclassmen really helped with that too, and guiding me through how to play.
A number that I found striking when I went through and looked at your stats from the games: 1,199 minutes played on the pitch as a freshman. How on earth did you manage to physically be stable and capable enough of playing that many minutes? Because that's a long time, especially when you consider you played in 17 games and started only 14. How did you get your body ready to play for that long?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was super different from high school. And I mean, we do have great training staff here. They help you out. They make sure that you're ready for every single game. You know, warming up, stretching every single day is really important to keep your body in the best shape possible. It definitely was a lot, you know, coming in playing 90 minutes as a freshman at a level that's so much higher than I did in high school. But, you know, just pushing through it, I mean, taking it one game at a time, 1 week at a time. And, you know, you're always motivated by the people around you.
And now I want to touch on both of your previous careers. So let's start with Macy, but keep the train rolling. Attended Rock Canyon High School in Colorado. Your senior year, 14 wins and 1 loss with 5 ties, a 2-time state finalist and a team captain your senior year. State might hurt you a little bit, but May 22nd, 2024, a 1-0 loss to Mountain Vista in the state championship game after a 3-0 dominant win against Heritage to get you there. Was that the moment going into that game? Was that really the moment for you that it sort of hit you that playing at the next level is not just realistic, but it's certainly feasible for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that game, both Rock Canyon and Mountain Vista, ton of great athletes. And especially in my class, we had, I think, over 10 athletes that were continuing on at the Division I level. So it definitely was high-intensity, high-paced game. And that is a game that was more at the level of Division I athletics. Playing in that environment, too, we played at the Colorado Rapids Stadium. And that was just a surreal experience. You know, that's the pro team there. And amazing turf, amazing facilities. You know, it was a really fun experience.
You were named to the 2024 Colorado All-Conference team for 5A. When I look back at all these accomplishments and I see all that you've done in your high school career, what does it mean to you personally to look back on that?
I mean, it definitely was a great experience, you know, playing at such a high level as a high schooler. I mean, I was surrounded by so many great teammates, great coaching staff. It was a really fun experience before coming on to play collegiately.
And now let's transition to Emma, graduated from Tiverton High School in Rhode Island, 10-7 your senior year in 2021. Despite Macy going and being a 2-time state finalist, you have won 2 state championships in Rhode Island, including the Mass State Cup title for regionals in New Jersey. When was the moment for you, maybe it might have been those 2 state games, but certainly for you personally, what was the moment for you that it clicked in that playing collegiately was realistic for you?
So me personally, I've always wanted to play collegiately. Since I was in 4th grade, my mom took me to a UConn women's soccer game. And at this time, I think I was playing on the field, and I was watching all the girls like run around, and like I was 9, 10 years old, and I remember just like seeing the lights and all these like girls that looked so like so much older, so much bigger, and just being like amazed by it all, like the crowd, because like UConn, they have such a big crowd, and it was honestly amazing. And I had a poster and I had all the players sign it, and I was like, this is what I want to do. And I had my best friend at the time, we wanted to go to play soccer together. We've been playing forever together. So ever since I was like 9, I've always wanted to play like soccer college, in college. And so I think definitely in high school, when I first started playing with my high school team, we like clicked, because Tiverton, it's such a small town. We've all been playing with each other since we were like 5. Like I started soccer at age 3, and I've been playing with those girls since I was 3. And once we hit high school, it just took off from there, and we just knew how to play with each other. And it was amazing how we could connect on the field. And I just knew that like once I go to college, I want to connect with like girls on that field like that, and play and feel like that, and be under the lights and have people come to our games and me signing posters, or just seeing the little girls on like the sidelines too, like coming to the games. Like that was just really surreal. And like I just knew at a young age I wanted to play collegiately.
And I went through and looking back at all the awards you've won, one that sticks out to me is Civic Leadership Award. What are the main qualities you find that you possess as a leader?
I'm very inclusive, and I'm very talkative. I love to hear myself talk. I love to lead. like my teammates, I always like to wake up in the morning and make jokes and make people feel included. Even when I go into my coaches' meetings, they always say, like, Emma, you're smile. Like, you're just smiling every day. And I try. If you're not, like, in a good mood and being positive, it's really hard to just be a team with other girls and, like, make people feel welcomed. So I always try and stay positive. I love just being the older girl and knowing that there's people to, look up. Like, people are looking up to me. Even it was surreal in my coaches' meeting. I think, it was the beginning of this season when coach was like, Emma, like, you're a senior now. Like, and it just felt like just yesterday I was a freshman. Like, and she was like, oh, like, you can look up to these seniors. And now my coach is saying that these girls are looking up to you. And I think that really, it hit me. And I was like, wow, like, I'm old. I'm going to be the leader on this team. So, yeah, I definitely like to bring people together and just have fun. And it's fun to see how well we're doing and knowing that, like, I have a role in that as well.
And last but not least, before we start transitioning to these questions for the both of you, why don't you tell this lovely audience, you started your career as a left back.
I did.
And then you transitioned into goalie. How did that come about?
So I think I was maybe 11. Like I was so young, and we're playing, it's like 9v9 maybe, like not that many girls. And our goalkeeper at the time, she got injured. And so then we're all standing in like a huddle, and I remember my coach just looking at us and being like, okay, like one of you guys just have to like go in. And we're all just like I was good being left back. Like, it scared me. I didn't want to, you know, these girls are kicking the ball at you. And then it was just dead silent. And my teammates know I hate silence. Like I always have to fill the room with like noise. So I was like, okay, like I'll do it. Like I'll do it. And then I went in, and I remember making my first save. And like it was clumsy, but I held onto the ball and I was like rolling, and I just heard everyone like, yes, Emma. And I was like, wait, I kind of like this. Like I like the cheering, and like, you know, like I think I like to be like the last resort sometimes, like when it's like you want to save the day, everyone wants to be like a hero, I guess. So knowing that like I went in, no one wanted to do it, so I volunteered, and just making that first save, and like even hearing my mom's like the loudest one on the bench, on the sidelines too, like hearing my mom scream and stuff. Like it was really nice to like make her proud and like have people cheering. And yeah, ever since then I've gone to every single goalie clinic, practices, trainings. And I loved it after that. Like, yeah. So I just stayed with it.
That's incredible. And now we come to the present day as it stands, 4 wins, 1 loss, and 2 ties. 3rd in the MAC in scoring, 4th in defense. Currently St. Peter's sits at the top of the MAC right now in the standings. Did you both always know that this was a realistic possibility? And if so, what do you attribute the success to?
I mean, after last season, we were put in the preseason rankings as very last. And we came into this season, and I remember a few of our teammates talking, and we're like, well, it's only up from here. So I think we just had a ton of motivation to prove people wrong, and going from last to now first in the MAC is huge. And I mean, of course, our coaching staff has done a ton with it, bringing in new freshmen, transfers that have really helped with our success, and as well as team bonding. I mean, we're all super close with one another, even though it's only been a month and a half. But it's just, it's really been a fun ride.
Mm-hmm. I think that, especially as a senior, this definitely has been the best we've looked since I've been here. Even playing against LIU, the coach went up to our coach and was like, this is the best St. Peter's team we've played against. And it was coming in preseason, obviously our goal is to make the playoffs. And we're all like, we do take that really serious, but being ranked dead last multiple times, it's kind of discouraging. But everyone, we kind of have like a knowledge that like we are the underdogs. And so going into our preseason games and winning against Temple, and like we started winning more and then more, and we're like, wait, we look really good right now. And then we went into in-season game against Niagara really confident, and we scored 5 goals, which was insane. Like, we've never scored that many in conference. And it was just like, after that game, we were like, even after when we're in the locker room, we're like, we're gonna make playoffs, like we're gonna do this year. And it was really nice to see that, like, me personally as a senior, like going through this journey and seeing that, like, my last year, like, it can be like we're really good this year.